Good morning. I'm just amazed every time I come over here and hear these hymns, aren't you? It's a privilege to come to church on Sunday to worship God. This morning, we'll be in Luke 2. I should introduce myself. Well, I know we have at least one visitor. My name is Farrah Griggs, if you're visiting with us. Glad to have you. And now turn with me to Luke 2. Last week we were in one portion of Luke 2, and this week we're just going to continue and start with verse 22. We're going to be talking about Jesus in the temple when he was an infant. Let's see what Luke has to tell us here. Read with me. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord, the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is anointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. These are the words of God. May he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for being with us in our lives. Thank you for being willing to compete with all the commercial enterprise going on in the name of Christmas. Help us this day and every day here forward to remember why and why we call it that name, for it is indeed Christmas, the day of Christ. Bless this reading this morning. Bless this message. Let the words of my heart and the meditations of every heart in this room be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So I took the sermon title this morning right from the scripture. It's called Seeing Salvation. I want you to imagine, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I want you to imagine that we're barely on the other side of Jesus' birth. Like it was just a few days ago. All the props are in place. The shepherds have heard the heavenly choir. Mary is delivered of her precious cargo. He is wrapped and swaddled and lies peacefully in the straw of the manger. Exhausted, Mary naps beside the baby as shepherds mingle with sheep and goats in a makeshift nursery. Joseph, still amazed at all that has happened in these few short months, stands watch in front of the stable. The time of expectation has become the time of fulfillment. God has come. Oh yes, he's just a baby, but he's here. No more waiting. The world will never be the same. Advent is over, for the Christ child is born and God is come. Like the good Jews that they were, Mary and Joseph kept the law. They circumcised the child on the eighth day. They named him Jesus, as the angel had instructed Mary. After observing the 33 days of purification required by Jewish law, they traveled to nearby Jerusalem to the temple to consecrate the child. And on the 40th day, they offered the prescribed sacrifice of either birds or a lamb, depending on the economic status of the donor. For Mary and Joseph, it would have been a pair of doves or pigeons, as they were not a well-to-do family. And once again, the number 40 enters the dialogue. It denotes maturity or perfection or fulfillment. The incarnation, the birth of the Son of God, is complete. And Luke tells us that Simeon was both righteous and devout. This is the kind of man that Luke wants in the story. He's righteous. He knows and he obeys the law. He's devout. He doesn't just obey. He does his obedience with desire and with love. Luke, ever the reporter, gives us some background on this man. He lived in Jerusalem, where he was waiting for the consolation of his people. Now, there's a fancy term, a specialized term, consolation. But a simple meaning, the consolation of Israel was the arrival of the promised Messiah, who would bring restoration to God's people. Luke says that the Holy Spirit came upon him, that he had a revelation that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. And under the movement of the Holy Spirit, Simeon goes to the temple courts. Now, that's an understatement. It's way more than just movement. Look back at today's scripture. Luke says to his audience, in just three lines, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. The Holy Spirit would give him a revelation. And that Simeon came to the temple in the Holy Spirit. Three times in a row, Luke reminds us that all these things happen in or through or led by the Holy Spirit. In the temple, Simon sees and meets Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. And it's a fair guess that Simeon is now an old man, since he's concerned with death and apparently preparing for it. And the young mother surrenders her baby to the old man, who utters a hymn. He has, and it says so right in the hymn, seen salvation. And that's enough for Simeon. We could use some more Simeons, don't you think? We could use some more folk who are both righteous and devout, who hang around the temple on occasion, who pick up babies and bless them even when they're not related to them. We could use some more Simeons in every community. But I have to tell you, Sometimes they come disguised as people with different names and very ordinary lives. Often they answer to the name of grandma or grandpa. And they move in the world of baking and gardening and showing up on Wednesday nights for Bible study. I think this is their version of hanging around the temple. Every church has its Simeons. They always seem to have time for the right things. They always seem to know what's really important. Their lives, once just as complicated as ours, have become simple with the observation of birthdays and anniversaries and births and church events. I bet you know a Simeon. Back in the temple courts, Simeon sings, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon is neither Pharisee nor Sadducee nor zealot. He is Old Testament faith personified. The Simeons of Israel had no dreams of conquering heroes or power or violent government overthrow. Their hope rested in lifelong vigils, invested with prayer and obedience and watchfulness. They waited with humble and faithful expectation. They believed the prophets of old, and they waited for those prophecies to come to fruition. In their obedience, they found their rest. God had promised, and God would deliver. For Simeon in the temple courts holding the Messiah, he saw that his time had matured. He trumpeted his own end, having seen the Messiah whom he had promised in the vision, been promised. Now think about God's providence at work here. Providence, that incredibly synthesizing activity that God does in our lives as he moves us across the chessboards of life to be in just the right places at just the right times, to do or see or experience just the right things. And through God's providence, though Simeon is not known to be a regular presence at the temple courts, any more than the infant Jesus would have been, nevertheless, on the day divinely appointed, the two come together in a most providential manner. Just an hour's difference, and they would never have met. But our God has perfect timing. When Simeon says to God to dismiss him, it's the same thing as saying, "I'm ready to go, I'm ready to die now." Simeon's ready, for his eyes have seen salvation. What does it mean to see salvation? It must mean more, don't you think, than just the coming of the Messiah for the nation of Israel. Simeon saw it in the form of a newborn baby. But Simeon had eyes to see beyond the firstborn son being dedicated in the temple. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. His vision was that of the heart, formed through years of obedience and trust. Simeon lived in a time of Roman occupation, a time when the nation of Israel longed for the days of the Promised Land, when they could see God's presence in the tabernacle. The spiritual connection of the nation of Israel was drought-stricken and it was in decay. And yet Simeon could see salvation coming in the little baby that he held in his arms. It has been said that the lesson of Simeon is that we must be ready to die if we are to glean the real fruit of the incarnation, the birth of the Son of God. It's been argued that we cannot understand the birth of the Christ child until we transfer all our trust in him, that only then can we be prepared to die. And this might be indeed very true, but I would suggest to you another reason, perhaps even greater, of the coming of the Messiah is that he gives us the way not just to die, but the way to live. To understand Christ is to unlock the door to life and life abundant. Seeing salvation gives us these things we talk about in Advent, hope and peace and joy and love. And Simeon sings, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation." Listen to this, to the Gentiles. "And for glory to your people Israel." This is an inclusive message from this old man who has seen salvation. Jesus was there for all to see. His life was an open book. We read from Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 53, about the suffering servant, where Isaiah prophesied a life that Jesus chose. Simeon saw the coming salvation that the birth of Jesus signaled. He saw it for the revelation that it was. He sang his hymn as a prelude to revelation, not just for the people of Israel, but for everyone. And that revelation proved to be a hard lesson to learn, not just then, but now. It's a sad tribute to the selfishness of mankind that its own creator could hide in plain view. But it's true, isn't it? We could not see salvation, even though it had a name and a face and a ministry in our own backyard. But it doesn't have to be that way. We must be a Simeon, with open eyes and love that trusts our Creator God to lead us. Can you see salvation? Tell me that you can. We have so much more today than did those poor old Simeon had in the temple courts of the first century. We have not just the Hebrew Bible, we have the New Testament, we have the Gospels. We have not just the prophecies of old, we have the life of Christ. We have not just the incarnation, we have the resurrection. Think of the themes of Advent. With the birth of Christ, all who had no hope now can be reborn. With Jesus, all who had no love are now renewed. With our Savior, all which was resigned to dreariness now can become joy. Through Emmanuel, God with us, we can see our salvation and be at peace in a world which otherwise makes little sense and offers us lives of toil and troubles and snares and fear. Can you see salvation? Today of all days, the vision of that mountain is clear. He's born, he's come, he's alive. Look around you. You can see salvation in the restoration of a friendship, the forgiveness of some old wound. You can see salvation in the baptism of a child. You can feel salvation when you partake of the Lord's Supper. The lesson of Christmas is that we can rest in the knowledge that he is come, and please pay attention to the verb. Jesus is not living in the past tense, nor does he live totally in the future. He lives, he is come. And he will lift us beyond our own frailties, beyond our own limitations, if only we will do as Simeon and trustingly believe and obey. We too can see our salvation. If you read on, you know that there's more that Simeon says to Mary and Joseph. His happiness in seeing salvation is couched in his caution of the days to come. Even at birth, the shadow of the cross looms large for our Savior. But this ominous foreboding is the subject for another day. For today, let's rejoice. Let's do as Luke tells us that Jesus' own mother and father did, hearing the words of old Simeon. They marveled at what he had told them. Let us marvel at what was said about him, for in him we can see salvation. And this is some big metaphor for life. I stand up here week in and week out preaching these things that I sit behind myself and try to hear. How do you see that? How do you feel that? I think for me, it's just letting go. Church helps. Fellowship of Christians helps. But in a few minutes, we'll walk out of church and we'll leave that fellowship and we will be resigned to our thoughts. Will we let Jesus in? And how far? Who will be in control? He has come, and he is coming. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, you came down. You let us see you as one of us. But while you were one of us, you were also God. You lived our lives. You bled our blood. You sinned not. Help us to let go. We'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.